Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everybody, to Croup Day. our sound, Rev, had croup, which they assured us could not go to adults, but then they said, oh, yeah, well, it does. It's just laryngitis. So,
Chuck
and Julie are joining you with laryngitis here on Wacky Monday.
As you can imagine, if you're me, that's really a bad thing to have. But I think we're going to be able to make it through. Chuck, broadcasting from the new headquarters, the new world headquarters of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, although the background looks the same. We're here, Chuck and Julie, Truth Straight Up, the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Chinese Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, along with happytrees.co. Although, don't call them yet. They're taking the summer off, or the winter off, rather. And Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Chuck, a lot to talk about today. We were right. We've been saying stuff for years. We'll talk more about that. But wanted to bring in a happy spot and bring in Dave Whistle, from Park County, to give everybody just a quick update, a quick background. Dave was a Republican candidate for county commissioner in Park County and was being not only not endorsed, but actively campaigned against by a guy by the name of Dick Elsner, who was coincidentally the state treasurer of the Republican Party. Thanks to Dave's efforts, Elsner
and his wife was the head of the Republican Party
in Park County. So Dick had to step down.
Campaigning for a far left teacher.
Right. And in an overwhelmingly Republican county, and they pulled out all the stops. But Dave, I understand, again, you'd think, I mean, it's only a week after the election, right? But it looks like things are looking good for you. Is that right?
Good afternoon, Chuck and Julie. Yes, things are looking good for us, at least as of today. Hello from South Park, the reality in more ways than one.
Right.
Here in Fair Play. But yeah, we, as of the tally of the votes last Thursday by our clerk's office, I have a 460 vote lead. It was probably the wildest experience I've ever been involved in 40 plus years in this arena.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to see what's going on nationally, to see what happened locally, it does make you see from the ground here how the Republican Party has absolutely disintegrated.
Okay.
The local party actually ceased to exist and went out and openly supported, with the Elsners, their leaders, our Democrat commissioner candidate. So that, you know, they're right to do that, but not when you hold Republican leadership positions. So it has been really frustrating. However, let me say this. The reason we do this is for the people. And the people that we have met and joined our team has been the greatest experience of my life and our family. And we have such a great team together. For example, we had a team that had been involved with Election Integrity Matters before they ever met me.
Right.
And they used those skills and those contacts to have watchers at the general election. I can tell you, I honestly believe that if we had not had the diligence of our watchers and our people looking at our election process. Now, the wild card in this is we had rookies running our election.
Okay.
Our long-term clerk, for reasons I can't tell you, Deborah Green, resigned effective September 15th.
Okay.
So what happened was the commissioners hired the chief deputy clerk, created a new position, and she worked for the majority of the board of commissioners. She was the only certified elections official in the office.
Okay.
They then appointed the Republican candidate to the vacancy October 5th. Put her in charge of it, although as a candidate under election law, she could have nothing to do with the actual election process, as well as she had no certification.
Unlike Arizona, right?
So what we ended up with was it was evident that it was everyone's first time at this rodeo.
So let me clarify. So you're not necessarily saying initially, at least on the part of these people, corruption or incompetence. It was more just inexperience.
Well, there was also a lot of things that slipped through the cracks. For example, okay. there were people put in as election judges that were hand selected by the county chairman, not the prior county clerk. All of those people had different allegiances than to me.
Right.
So just the appearance of it, we're not accusing anybody of anything, but we have had all of our watchers compile notes. We're going to do an after action report. I mean, okay. This really isn't over, folks. You know, no election is done in America now until it's certified.
So what is the holdup? I mean, Park County, I would imagine, you know, they could have had somebody's sixth grade class count all of the votes in Park County, like three
they
or four times by now.
They still have the military
now.
Votes and the other ones that are outstanding that, you know, that the Democrats got so they could come in a week after the election.
Is that what the holdup is there, Dick? Just votes are still coming in?
Well, yeah, that's one of them. That, you know, we have a little over 100 service people on overseas votes. The real interesting factor are other county votes. We have learned that you can, by law, drop your ballot at any vote center in Colorado and it will get to Park County eventually. Well, what we have learned is the city and county of Denver, in their infinite blueness, doesn't mail the ballots as they get them. They hold them and bundle them. So what they do is they deliver a batch of ballots all at one time. As far as we understand, every other county in this state, if they get a ballot, they have to receive it prior to 7 p.m. on election day. They then forward that to the appropriate county.
Okay.
Denver's the only one that bundles like this. And So there is a batch coming. We don't know what, we don't know when, we don't know how many, but we are diligent on that. And our watcher crowd has put notice to our county clerk that any out-of-county ballot, we must be allowed to have watchers.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, though. It seems to me that it wouldn't be that hard to figure out, well, how many out of overseas ballots did you mail? And how many ballots did you mail to Denver? That shouldn't be that hard. Or is that somehow you can't figure, and then you could figure out, well, is
people
that going to be-
People can vote overseas by internet. And so you've got to tabulate those ones. I mean, it's just a whole cluster of laws that really intended to allow them more time to crook the vote.
Which is what we're seeing in Lauren Boebert's district, right?
Yes.
All of a sudden, we're seeing that. But at least you're winning. I guess at least you're winning. At least you're winning now, right?
Yeah. I mean, the greatest thing about this, folks, is the process. But we have to have diligence on every level. What it's really proved to me of being a veteran in the elections in 2018, for example, I had no idea of the amount of skullduggery and opportunities for one side to exercise their bias. My eyes have been so open this year, and it's because of our team of people. It certainly wasn't just me. I couldn't do this, but with a team of people and we had a compilation of some of the hundreds of hours that our people spent just ensuring that the process was according to the rules.
Right. And we're talking just one. I mean, Park County isn't even the most populous county. And I want to just briefly mention, you know, we're going to talk about the GOP leadership. But as Chuck pointed out, what leadership? The GOP leadership was actively campaigning for the Democrat. So, I mean, go no further. Right. It's like that's not leadership. That's a different word.
Yeah. And it was really, really weird because the Elsner family blew up the GOP. They blew up their furthering of their any idea, I would think, in the Republican Party, at least they have with us in this county. One telltale sign, Commissioner Elsner had a question put on the ballot about extending his terms by another. And that was resoundingly defeated.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
It was the best commentary of our fearless leader that anyone could have. And the other good thing is, I must say to the people of our county, every tax issue was defeated except one local one here.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, though, too, because here to me is the other problem, which is why we need to get new leadership that can address this. If you hadn't had all of these people who are already involved in the voter integrity issue, I mean, if you're just one guy running for county commissioner in Park County and you hadn't had all this help, I mean, this would have been expensive. I mean, it would have been virtually impossible for you to do, right?
Well, not only that, but look at the expenditure. This is a county commissioner race. I spent in my campaign probably close to $20,000 by we're done.
Wow.
That is unheard of. The other right. side did everything from mailers to robocalls to radio. Anything we did, they did. So whatever we did, they mirrored. And I'm flattered. I can't tell you how flattered I am of the amount of negative energy and money they put towards me. And right. the people of this county saw through it. And one of the blessings is we had, you know, we're established people here in this county in our family. We had right. people calling us and saying, are you guys okay? Are you
oh, yeah.
handling this? Are we just have never seen the negativity and the vitriol at this level at for anything. So that disappoints me. But yet the sunshine is, you know, regardless of how this came out, I was good with it. I did this because it was a call to action. We right. need people to stand up. I just happen to have enough knowledge to be really dangerous.
Yes.
So that is exactly what motivated the other side, was to keep their power and their grip on the county. We right. now offer the citizens a direct path to be involved, to peel back the budget onions, to look under the shroud of darkness and expose these people for what they are.
Right.
We will bring to light what is needed in all levels of government. And people have to have the responsibility to also be aware of what's going on in their localities. Because what happens at your county commission office, what happens in your city council chambers affects you too.
Oh, it affects you more, I think, than a lot of
the others. So there'll be three Republican county commissioners, yourself, but Dick Elsner, or who are the other two going to be?
Dick Elsner has 2 years plus the balance of this year for his term. And then Commissioner Amy Mitchell out of Lake George, and she is truly a conservative. She has been on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
The gentleman I defeated in the primary, Commissioner Douglas, was 100% rubber stamp for Elsner. And he was in there for that purpose. So we have a lot of work to do in front of us. I'm really excited about it once we get past Thursday.
Once we can actually count the votes.
I think, what is it? The magic word is ballots cast.
Exactly. We're going to talk about that
votes.
In a second. Exactly.
Yes, we don't use votes. We use ballots cast.
Exactly.
I think
exactly.
that was courtesy of Mr. Secretary of State Williams.
Yes. Yes.
He's somewhere down that road.
Dave Williams. So, yep.
Yeah. So
that's another one of a Republican, you know, he's former state Secretary of State, I guess. And he spent all his time on television telling you how
gold standard. Gold standard,
yeah.
Dave.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing how the leadership of the Republican Party is the biggest booster of Democrats, you can imagine.
But
well, we have that. Look what's going on in CD3. Look at the issues of, just look at the colors of the maps, right? I mean, we have traditionally been a very red county. We are still red county, but we have been infiltrated by the blue wave, and it's been from our own people.
Yeah.
That's the part that is so disturbing to us is, okay, if you want to join the other side, you're welcome to it.
Right.
You know, you have every right, and we hold no malice for that. But don't sit on the inside and work for the other guys.
No, exactly. Right? Well, Dave, listen, we're going to let you go. Thank you. Keep us posted. If this should turn around, we'll jump on it. But thank you and congratulations.
Congratulations. Great job.
I can't tell you, thank you so much for allowing us to put our story out there and use your platform for our benefit to meet sure. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Listen there. Look, we've had a bunch of great comments. People are saying, Charlene was saying, yay, the GOP is disintegrating in Colorado. And Charlene again saying, I didn't leave the GOP. The GOP left me. You know, we need voter ID more now than ever. Yeah, that Dr. Donna's talking about Wayne Williams on TV, chucking and jiving with the SOS. In about 15 minutes, we're going to have Casper Stockham come on. He is launching a new initiative, but I kind of wanted to go over some stuff. I mean, Chuck, you and I have been talking about this forever, and I feel like we should be saying to people, hey, hello, finally, people are starting to talk about the ballot harvesting. You can call it ballot collecting, call it whatever you want, but the Democrats have been doing it, and they've been doing it successfully, and they've been doing it in Colorado for years. But now after the COVID thing, the rest of the country has seen it. So thank goodness, at least everybody is waking up, except for the Colorado Republican Party. I haven't seen a word from them. And I just wanted to quick go over and Chuck, get your thoughts on this, because I know you've been busy. So in this, and I apologize, I'm going to keep taking cough drops. In this, as of like the day after the election, right? So this is even probably more numbers, but the Colorado turnout was 2.5 million. That's about 66% of the registered active voters. Registered active voters are voters who have a ballot mailed to them, okay? Of that, 40% were unaffiliated, 30% were Democrat, and 27%, almost 28% were Republican. Now, I want to go back to 2018, the last midterm election. It was way much more evenly split. 31% of the turnout was unaffiliated, 31% was Democrat, and 30% was Republican. Okay. We have 160,000 more unaffiliated people in 2022 than 2018. And what's the big difference? The motor voter law went into effect, right? In 2019, if you do anything at the Department of Motor Vehicles, you are automatically mailed a ballot. And you're automatically,
or if you're in Medicaid, you automatically get registered.
Right. All these people are automatically registered and they're automatically mailed a ballot. And these are the people, this is what I think the Republican Party needs to do. Yes, you need to have people going after your likely voters, okay? But we need to have a dedicated plan, strategy, and funding mechanism to go after all of these unaffiliated voters who are not really leaning one way or the other. These are just people who were registered, may not even know they're registered, have no idea that they're getting a ballot, could care less if they're getting a ballot. These are the people the Democrats are targeting, these so-called, I'm going to use a nice word, indifferent voters, right? That's what the Republican Party needs to do. We need to go to places where people, you know, they have no intention of voting. And don't you think that's what the Democrats are collecting? Likely voters, okay, we're probably going to get those anyway. And yes, you need to make sure that they turn their ballot in. But we need to be actively collecting, not going out there and trying to give them our message and not going out there and trying to get them to watch the debate. No, we need to be going out there and getting their ballots the same way the Democrats do.
Well, we got to find sources for ballot harvesting. Churches would be one, it'd be a key one.
Right.
They were disgraceful during this COVID of staying closed with some great exceptions. I'm not sure what other ones, sports clubs, strip clubs. I don't know, but you got to go
anywhere
and everywhere and try to pick up ballots, because it's not voting anymore. We don't have a voting system. We have a ballot harvesting system.
Right. Well, and I'm going to just, here's an example. So if we were to go to churches, right, rather than, okay, if you want to go there as a candidate and speak to the church, that's great. But what the Republican Party needs to be doing is organizing a day where we go there, we make sure people are registered, and then we say, and next Sunday, because the ballots have already mailed, we're going to come back here and we're going to get your ballots, right? And look at it this way. And then if they trust you, you can talk to them about the issues, right? So if you think of it, Barb Kirkmeyer lost by a little bit more than 1,000 votes in CD8, right? So we can legally collect 10 ballots, right? So if you were to get 10 Republicans to go to a church on Sunday and each of them collect 10 ballots, that's 100 ballots. And if you did that at 10 churches, now you've made up that difference. You see what I'm saying? It's not like it's brain surgery, it's math. And the Republican Party, I'm going to get into later. I mean, I think there's corruption going on there that they would rather have populists lose than they would have populists win.
Well, that's clear from Dave Whistle. I mean, you have the chairman, you have the treasurer of the Colorado Republican Party and his wife, his county commissioner, trying to get a far left Democrat elected county commissioner because they could control her. And that's, you know, Mitch McConnell takes all the money away from Arizona and Blake Masters and Oxall in Nevada. And so that the Democrats win, but he won't get people to vote against him. He's a disgrace. I mean, he typifies the GOP establishment.
Right. Well, and I'm going to address Stephen here, too. Stephen says Republicans in Colorado have no bench and have no national support. They need a program to get the young people to register and be active Republicans. You know what? No, Stephen, I'm saying forget that. I'm saying we need to play. That's old school anymore. And I know people might get mad at me, but that's old school. The Democrats don't say we need to get them registered and be active Democrats. The Democrats say we need to get their ballots. That's what we need to do. We need to figure out, we need to go to college campuses. I mean, yes, you can go to like a Young Republicans or something like that, but have them bring all their friends. They don't need to be active. They don't even need to care. They just need to give us their ballots. Okay. And then when we do that, we can compete against the Democrats, because that's what the Democrats are doing. Why do you think that all of a sudden in CD3, which where Lauren Boebert is enormously popular, Adam Frisch is within a few hundred votes of beating her? Now, that wasn't the case early on, but why do you think they need these days? Because they're finding ballots. They aren't going out there right now and getting people to register and become active. They're just getting their ballot. Republicans need to get over the idea that there's something wrong with this, because it's not. It's legal, and the Democrats are doing it. And if we don't do it, there's no, we're going to.
Well, one person said either adapt or die.
Right.
Crook the system. And we got to figure out some way to fight back.
Well, I know in California, there was a great article in Breitbart. In California, a Republican won in, I think, their congressional district 48. And the guy, he was the one that's saying adapt or die. He said, we've been harvesting ballots for years. That's why we win. And he said what they do, his wife, who is a candidate, is Asian, and they go to Asian churches. And he said, we've developed this rapport with them. And so the people know on a certain day, they bring their ballots. We collect their ballots, which is legal, and we turn it in. You know, why? I mean, Dr. Dinah was saying churches don't let candidates speak, but you can register. I'm saying you got to do more than register. You got to get their ballot, because the people who are going to, they're probably in Colorado registered anyway, if they've renewed their license, if they've gotten a license. So they're registered, whether they know it or not. And they're getting a ballot mailed to them, whether they look at it or not, whether they're even alive or not, or even living at that address or not. And we need to get systems in place to get those ballots, not of the likely voters, not of the active voters, because those people are going to probably vote for us anyway. But the margins are just a few thousand votes in some of these races. And if we could collect enough indifferent voters' ballots and cast them for our candidates, then we can fight the Democrats. Don't you think, Chuck?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to have to figure out, you know, centers of votes. For example, I remember hearing someone complaining that Gina Griswold is having a college get out the vote thing because 90% of them are Democrats. Well, where are there places where there are 90% of the people are Republicans? And we've got to, you know, we've got to go there and we've got to get them to give us their ballots. And eventually the system is going to get so corrupted and so awful and not reflect, you know, the will of the voters, but the will of the ballot harvest is that maybe we'll actually have a comeuppance and we'll outlaw the whole sick system they put in place.
Right. Well, then Stephen was saying, I agree they need to harvest ballots, but someone has to do the legwork. Yes, and I agree with that too. That we need to do all of the things we're doing, right? But in order to win and in order to not get clobbered anymore, we have to adjust and adapt to the new way of doing things. When and so many states have all mail ballots, when so many states allow ballot harvesting, if we don't start ballot harvesting, we're screwed. I mean, I would submit this. I mean, we've had Ted Trimpa say they don't rely on volunteers to do this. He said, no, we have paid people. That's what I would do. I would have volunteers to call and contact the likely voters, right? Because you do want to make sure your likely voters are going to turn their ballots in. That's important. People forget, you know, but if you've got, and you have the data now with the systems that'll tell you, is this person, you know, is Julie Bonnywell, you know, has she voted Republican? Has she voted at all? Blah, blah, you know, what magazines does she read? All kinds of stuff like that. Maybe not magazines, but.
Well,
so
no,
that
they actually do. National parties have that information for you. So you have all these independents. And you can see, you know, do they vote in Republican primaries or not? Do they, you know, so the likely Republicans, you can identify lots of them by whether what their reading habits are, viewing habits, or whatever else.
And I would say, and that's great. And that's let volunteers contact those people, because those are kind of easy. They'd be warm. What we need then is a strategy and a plan and paid people to go collect these indifferent voters. We need them knocking on doors. So if you've got, you can see in your voter rolls, okay, it's an address at blah, 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 you know, Center Street. And there's three people who live there and they haven't voted in any election, but three ballots were mailed there. Well, then we need somebody to go knock on their door and introduce themselves and say, hey, whatever, right? Like you said, we need people to go to churches or like, I guess, drop centers, so to speak, right? And act and collect those ballots, paid people. The Democrats, we've seen this in 2000 mules, they pay people by the ballot, right? That's a motivating factor. And that's not, I don't think, anything illegal about that, because they're probably not actually paying them by the ballot if you were to, you know, do that. So Republicans need to get over this idea, because if we don't start doing it between all mail ballots and between ballot harvesting and between motor voter, where everybody is automatically registered and everybody is automatically getting a ballot, the Democrats are out there collecting them.
And we got to figure out ways to change the system in our favor.
Right.
I mean, you know, they're going to have in Alaska, they did everything. They finally got to ranked choice voting, which greatly favors the Democrat. I mean, it's just one group just sits there and gets battered and does nothing about it. And the other just spends all its time figuring out how to rig the process.
Well, and that's what Charlene just said, except as soon as we adapt, they change the rules and it's not just mail-in ballots.
We got to adopt our own rules.
Right, exactly. And it's fill in blank ballots by key election workers. It's machine. Oh, you're right, Charlene. It's a multi-step thing. I mean, I look at it like it's kind of like the cops fighting, you know, drug dealers, right? The cops come up with something, and the drug dealers come up with something else, and the cops do it. And all of these things, yes, we need to change election rules. And there are some states that are still salvageable where that kind of thing is possible. In Colorado, it's not. They are not going to go back to only Election Day in-person voting in Colorado. At least I would say not in our lifetime.
Well, the trouble is the only way to get it changed back to that
is the legislature.
It's not the legislature, because you'll never know. You've got to be able to win elections, which means you've got to be able to ballot harvest. So
well, that's what I mean.
To get rid of ballot harvesting, you've got to ballot harvest to get rid of it.
Well, and I guarantee you, as soon as we start doing it as effectively as the Democrats, they won't. Because again, keep in mind, Barb Kirkmeyer only by 1,000 some votes, right? And I'm sure whatever happens in the Lauren Boebert race, that's only going to be a few thousand votes. Like I said, that's 10 Republicans at 10 churches. I mean, that we could have, I'm sure, 10 somethings. So we could have just found some place in CD8. And instead, you know, we're doing honking waves. And that, you know,
my favorite election technique.
You got to understand, like I said, there are 160,000 more unaffiliated voters in 2022 than 2018. That's not 160,000 people who suddenly became dissatisfied with the party. Maybe a few thousand here and there on the unaffiliated. That's tens of thousands of people who were registered through the motor voter thing who probably don't even know and are getting ballots mailed to them. There are 140 ballots mailed to a homeless shelter in Denver, right? Because the Democrats went there, registered 140 homeless people. Now, do you think that those homeless people went back there in this election cycle and said, hey, I'm here to fill out my ballot? No. But do you think that some kind of Democrat worker showed up and got those ballots? I'm going to say yes, right? At least it wouldn't shock me if that happened, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have a democracy anymore. I think we have a corrupt.
Hello. Can I say something? Hello.
Yeah, Jacob, jump in. Yeah,
I can butt in. First of all, there's a thing called the Real ID, which is a federal law created by Obama. On all of our driver's licenses, we all have a little star now that tells us that we're a resident of the United States of America. How did those people that don't have the star get a ballot?
Because theoretically, I was reading about that. Theoretically, they're not supposed to. But as we saw, Jenna Griswold accidentally mailed postcards to 30,000 of them this time around, right?
Okay.
That told them that they, you know, they could register to vote or they could vote. So that's a good question, Jacob.
They're also that the corrupt process is they say, well, okay, if you're not a citizen or not otherwise eligible to vote, please let us know.
Let us know. Right.
No, but when they go to register, they have to show their ID.
No.
Is it that hard?
No.
Is it
that hard? No, not in Colorado, Jacob. You are automatically, you're under.
You can go on election day and register with a utility bill. What purports to be a utility bill.
No, no. Right, you were talking about in Colorado, I'm talking about when they get their license, they get registered to vote.
Yes.
At least in Nevada they do that. But
yes,
I think in Colorado they how can you register somebody to vote when you yourself are saying that they're not a resident, that they're not a citizen?
Well, that's a good question for Jenna Griswold, isn't it? Because somebody has to stop it. And somebody, I mean, that's why this ERIC system is, because Jacob, what you're talking about is voter suppression, for God's sakes. I mean, somebody has to stop
it,
right?
No, I know, I was
joking. That was sarcasm.
The federal judge has determined that a non-citizen cannot vote in a local election, period.
Right. But somebody has to report that. Somebody has to take the person off the voter rolls. Do you see what I'm saying?
How about the Department of Revenue? The head of the Department of Revenue
who's being
stepped on by the Secretary of State.
The Colorado law says the Department of Revenue has to give it to the Secretary of State. The motor voter law does. So, and they're all Democrats. I mean, Jacob, what you're arguing, I absolutely agree with. What I'm saying is, in theory, that's great. But in practice, that's not what's happening. And I think, for the most part, I would say, I don't think non-citizens voting is our biggest problem. I think our biggest problem is all of these ballots that are being mailed to people who just don't care. So when somebody shows up at their apartment complex or at their whatever and says, hey, can we have your ballot? They say, sure, they don't care, right?
Yeah,
that's
I do know this, that at the Aurora Theater murder trial, three people had come up to they were sent jury notices. And the judge asked them, are you citizens? And they said no.
Yeah.
And the only reason they were sent the jury notice was because they had a driver's license.
Right.
Right.
All right. Didn't somebody at the jury notice people say, wait, he doesn't have a star on his driver's license? I mean, this is nothing new. This has been going on for 15 years already.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes, it has. And I think it revved up into overdrive with COVID, where so many more states adopted the mail ballot, the no excuse mail ballot. I mean, and then so millions of ballots are just being mailed out. And then in some states like Florida, it's not. You have to have your ID and personally request an absentee ballot.
And look how fast they got their returns in.
Exactly. Okay. And look who won.
One quick thing. I just want to know, there's this thing called the FTX. They went bankrupt on Friday.
Yeah. Right.
And there's a big article how he was funding the Democratic Party, but he's out of the country when he was
Bahamas, I think. Yeah.
Yes. So how does an out of the country person influence our elections?
They sent like 40, 50 billion, a million to the Democrats to get, quote unquote, get out the vote. They just sent it to them.
Yeah.
And that's our money, because that was money that's supposed to go help Ukraine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think from what I gather, they're looking into whether it was laundered through Ukraine. So that's only interesting. Right. Hey, Jacob, we got to go to Casper. Thank you for your great call.
Thank you, Jacob.
Yeah, thank you. Great call. So we have Casper Stockham, who was working for Heidi Ginnall. We talked to Casper. Things didn't go well. But Casper, we're talking about making changes and things like that. And I know you're somebody who's always been very active in that. You sent me a text and said, and I apologize, I think if you didn't hear, Chuck and I both have laryngitis that we got from our son. So, which is tricky for podcasting. But Casper, you've got something new going on. Why don't you tell folks what it is?
Well, I'd be happy to do that. Before we talk about new, we have to talk about old.
Okay.
And in 2012, the national GOP tried to figure out why we lost so badly with Romney, and they petitioned a report. This report came back and told them step by step what they needed to do to start reaching out to or appealing to non-Republican unaffiliated voters, if you will. I had that report. I sent it to you. It's from 2012.
Okay.
And it is a step-by-step plan on how we do it. Now, the party never implemented it.
Oh.
It's 2022. They never implemented it.
They've been busy, and Casper.
I know. Yeah, yeah. They've been busy losing.
Right.
So fast forward to today in Colorado, we are firmly blue, and we're like solid, like rock solid blue now. And you and I and Chuck and everybody else have been, you know, trying to get them to change direction for a long time. As long as I've been out here, we've been trying to get them to change direction. Without having someone in leadership that understands about ballot harvesting, how important it is today, not that it's good, but it's the rules right now. I mean, it's right. legal to do, like right. you've been talking about during the show. So we need to have a leader that says, hey, I'm not excited about it. However, right. it is legal and we're going to do it because the other side is kicking our butt.
Right.
And we have to engage at the level, at that same level, if we want to ever win again.
Right.
Well, I talked with Christy Burton Brown when I got part of the executive committee of the state central mm-hmm. committee about ballot yeah. harvesting. And she just yeah. giggled. She just thought
yeah.
it was funny.
I know. And that's my point. That's my point. And you guys also know I resigned from the XCOM yes. board.
Oh no! How could you? That...
yeah, it was a tough decision, Chuck. But at the end of the day, it was boring as I don't know what. So I'm out. and there's some more important things to be focused on. And I hope that we can get leadership in that understands all the things we've been talking about on this show today. I have a suggestion.
Okay.
I call it Operation Oust.
Okay. I
and
like
you
it.
Can apply, and you can apply whatever you want to that because a lot of things need to be ousted, and we all know what those are. But Oust is an acronym. It stands for outreach. We have never really done outreach. Priscilla has tried. Sherry Gibson has tried, but they never had enough resources to do effective outreach. And this cycle, we tried to get Priscilla just $5,000 and that failed.
Right.
So we need to get serious about outreach and put it at the front of the line, not the end, not as the last resort. No. If we don't do it, we don't win, period.
Well, and let me, this dovetails exactly with what we're saying, though, in terms of now, once you have the outreach, that's where you're building the rapport. Then you can go back and collect those people's ballots, right? They're
exactly.
happy. They're
oh, yeah.
happy.
Exactly.
They trust you. That's what they're doing in California, yeah. where Republicans yeah. are winning.
Yeah.
Okay.
The race, the win in 2024 doesn't start in 2024.
Right.
It starts today.
Right.
We need to be doing outreach, forming those relationships, going into the retirement homes, wherever we got to go, to form those relationships and get them to like and trust us
right.
as Republicans so that we can go back when it's time to do the harvesting legally
exactly.
of
exactly.
ballots. And they have no problem handing them to us and talking to us because they trust us and they know us.
Right.
So
exactly.
So we now have a SPARK plan to do the outreach, which I introduced to Heidi's campaign. That's a perfect plan to use. Somebody can come up with something different if they want, but that's a good one. We also have to work on registering voters. Now, I know that's a tough one, but as you go in and form those relationships, we can register more voters.
Exactly.
We have to do the harvesting like we talked about. We have to start recruiting candidates. For example, a very good place to start is the National Ethiopian Community. If we had more Ethiopian candidates running for these offices, that would help us for the outreach.
Right.
There's a lot of low-hanging fruit there. They're already registered Republicans. We got to get them engaged in the process, not just voting, but actually involved in the process.
Okay.
And we have to start helping people at all levels. I asked this question in my workshop. I say, what is the purpose of the Republican Party? Now, the legal answer, and Republicans also, whoa, the purpose of the party is to get Republicans elected. Well, that's great. The problem is that's not appealing. That's not appealing to anybody, right? The purpose of the party should be to help people.
Right.
Help people, right?
Right.
If we help people, we'll get more Republicans elected.
Right. There you go.
And then the U stands for unified. We have to stop this back and forth. We got the grassroots. We got the Tea Party. We got the establishment. Scrap all that because we're never going to win unless we unify.
Okay.
So the new chair has to be able to reach out to the Tea Party and to Liberty groups or whoever and say, come to the table. Let's figure out what are things that you're concerned about. Let's work together so we can make this happen. So we need to find someone who can do that. And then we have to support candidates and counties. So we don't have enough money every year, happens every time. We don't have enough money to support all the candidates. We have to change that. How do we change that? We have to raise more money. We have to start reaching out to registered Republicans and say, look, we want to change this. We can change it, but we need for you to donate something, $5 a month, $10 a month, $17.76, whatever. Just start and don't give that money to the party. Give it to the county.
Give it
to the counties. Yeah, because that way now the money is dispersed. Now there's less of they hoarded the money and put it here or put it there. We put it into the counties so that they have enough money to support their local candidates. And then we can deal with.
I was going to say, and I think that's a particularly good idea. I mean, number one, if people trust the party, they'll start donating more. But I think for a while in Colorado, we can forget about statewide offices. Counties, I think, are where we can begin again to sort of start climbing back out of this pit.
Yeah. To quote Anil, all politics are local.
Right.
So we got to get the money to the county so they can start supporting their local candidates running from all the different local offices and start building back up from the ground back up. And then we have to start
overseas training and find a corrupt cryptocurrency billionaire to
that's another thing we need to do.
We need to do.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that as well. And then the last one is the T stands for training. We have to start training up candidates. I was working on this before. I will be continuing to work on it again. We can't allow for these elite training groups, and I'm not going to mention any names, but we know what they are. They're not going to train grassroots, bare knuckle, ballot harvesting stuff. They're going to train this lofty stuff up here, and it's not going to help us win. We have to start training on how to legally ballot harvest, how to legally get into these communities and start making a real difference today.
Do you think, Casper, I mean, to me, I like Priscilla and Marilyn in the Republican Party. I think Christy Burton Brown, I mean, when you lose this badly, I'm sorry, if you were in a company and you were the head of the company and this was the kind of results you had, no matter how nice of a person you were, no matter how much it wasn't your fault. I mean, you know, I bet you Hackett isn't going to be the coach of the Broncos next year, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
At a certain point, the buck stops there. I mean, I think we need totally new leadership across the board there, don't you think?
Yes, I hope that Priscilla and Marilyn don't get swept up in that, because a lot of times people say, well, we're just going to flush everything out and start over. Priscilla and Marilyn are quality, top quality folks. So I hope that potentially we can keep them. But the head of that needs to change. I have some suggestions on how we start paying those people as well. The chair and the vice chair typically run. The chair and the vice chair typically. But the chair and the vice chair typically run separate races. And then when they win, they don't really like each other or really coordinate. So then the chair hires an executive director at $100,000 a year. And we continue this cycle over and over.
Right.
That needs to stop.
Right.
The chair and the vice chair need to run as a ticket and then make sure that when they win, they are gelled together. We don't need an executive director.
Right.
We have a vice chair and a chair. And the vice chair needs to make a salary, not crazy salary, maybe $25,000 a year. The secretary, same thing, $25,000, and the treasurer, $25,000. That money can come from the executive director salary that will wipe it out. And then the chair can take a cut, so we can hire some outreach coordinators. So that now everybody has a little bit of income and a little bit of stake in the game, and then we can move forward.
Well, and we'll see. But so let me, because I know we got to let you go here. But so it's OUST and I like the acronym. And where can people find out more about it?
Right now, it's nowhere. We're putting it together. This is new. It's a new thought. We're putting it together. I would hope by the end of the week we will have something where people can go and check it out. But just know that, I'm not saying that I'm running. I'm just saying that we need somebody that can at least implement some of these things if we really want to make a big difference. And I know, I just want to speak to this real quick. I know that folks like Charlene, and I love Charlene to death. I know some of those folks just want the party to die. But if we let this die, there is no alternative right now. We can have alternative. I'd be happy to find an alternative. But right now, there is none. So this is what we have to try to save.
Just take it over.
Well, the Republican Party is doing a good job of acting like it's dead. So, you know,
wouldn't it be that hard? Well, and we've seen, you know, we saw what Trump did. People respond, right? If you're like, we're going to be a party. I mean, he took over the Republican Party. I mean, they're still gnashing their teeth and they're doing everything they can. But but you're right. It's, I mean, I kind of agree, too. There isn't, if we start a third party, then we're starting. I mean, I think what we need to do is have a populist Republican Party in Colorado.
We can't start a statewide third party.
Right.
It has to be a national movement, and it has to be somebody with the clout of a Trump that has tons of money and can put that party, whatever it is, in all 50 states immediately, hire directors and build it up now, because it's going to take two or three election cycles before that party even has enough clout to even start winning elections.
Right.
So until that happens, it's a pipe dream. It's a great dream. I would like to see it, but it's not reality.
It's not going to happen in time for the 2024. Right. All right, Casper, thank you. As always,
thank
appreciate
you,
your thoughts and your work, too.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you know, I was going to play, and we'll save this now because we're kind of running out of time, this Paul Pelosi bite. So there have been developments on that whole thing. But, you know, I think, Chuck, the one good thing, because I'm always like, okay, there's, like I keep saying, there's a pony in here somewhere. This is stuff that we've seen going on in Colorado, because we were one of the second state in the country to have the all-mail ballots. So we've seen that happening. But now that all of these other states, since COVID, since 2021 and now in 2022, people have seen it happen. All of a sudden, you know, you've got national columnists and talking heads and all of that all over the place talking about the whole concept of collecting ballots. I mean, to me, that at least now, I mean, the first step to solving the problem is acknowledging at that level that we have one, don't you think?
Well, you know, it's got to be a two-front one to get rid of mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting, and two, to get better at it ourselves. So at least in the meantime, we can try to survive, because I think democracy is dying. I mean, the Democrats are right, because they killed it. They really have killed it.
Well, and it's not going to change. And I think the other thing that I want to say, and this is why I think, you know, McConnell needs to go, Ronna McDaniel needs to go. I mean, if you and I sitting here in our basement in Westminster can figure this out, I'm pretty sure somebody has thought to mention this to Mitch McConnell. I'm pretty sure somebody has mentioned this to Ronna McDaniel. I'm pretty sure somebody besides you has mentioned this to Christy Burton Brown. And what have they done about it? Absolutely nothing. And by the way, they're all still getting paid the same, and their consultants are all still getting paid. No Colorado consultant lost money because their candidate lost by double digits, right? I mean, so they have no, and they hate us. I mean, I think we know that Mitch McConnell hates us, basically, right? He would rather lose than have a populist candidate.
And he did, and he managed to do it.
And he's happy. He's fine with that.
Well, that's same with Dick Elsner, you know, down in Park County. Trying to figure out, he'd much rather have a Democrat win the election he could get along with than a Republican would question him.
Right.
It's so emblematic of the Republican Party in Colorado.
Right. Well, and nationally, though, too, don't you think? I mean, again, just like Christy Burton Brown should go, Ronna McDaniel should go, and Mitch McConnell should go. And what do you, now, Marjorie Taylor Greene is sticking up for Kevin McCarthy. We know she likes him because I think she feels he stood up for her. What do you think about him? Should he go? I think he should go too.
He's awful. He's just a narcissistic jerk who doesn't believe in anything other than, you know, him being the Speaker of the House or whatever. But he's awful. All the Macs are. They said McDaniel, McCarthy, and McConnell equals Mac failure. And it's really true.
Right.
It's just really true.
And again, the good news is, though, this is fixable, but we need to have.
Well, it's not easily fixable.
No. But again, I go back to the margins weren't that massive. Right. In Colorado, we don't need millions of indifferent voters' ballots collected. We just need hundreds in some cases, and then in other cases, thousands. So it's
every candidate. You know, statewide election lost by
Okay.
I should have said,
okay, some of those statewide, when we're dealing with places like Denver, okay, where the Front Range and those urban communities can clobber us, I'm talking about the races that should be more winnable, I guess is what I'm saying.
You can win the eighth and things. But
and
really,
you might be able to win a state
you
senate.
You have to realize they stole it from you first, and you got to figure out how to steal it back. I mean, that's
I would even argue, you know, we'll talk about this in another show because we're running out of time. I think we need to change our wording around it. I think we need to quit using words like that. And we need, I think
that's
we need
what
to
it just... is. And so you just have to, it's a new era. No longer do you have two parties trying to work out a solution where everybody gets a chance to have their ideas. And, you know, and sometimes the Democrats win, sometimes Republicans win. It's changed to saying, you know, we're going to dominate and we're never going to give it back.
Right. So, all right. Well, listen, that's good. Again, Chuck and I apologize for our laryngitis.
Yeah, always, right.
Hopefully we'll be better by Wednesday. I'm sure we'll be better by Wednesday. You know, going to be a lot more to talk about, a lot more to do. And on Wednesday, we'll bring you this updated news on Paul Pelosi. If you think the Democrats wouldn't stoop to nothing, this will show you they will. Everybody, thank you to Casper.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone on Zoom. We'll see you all on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.